Blog Talk Radio.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow?
Halftime.
clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan spell. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight. The day the music died, he was singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were singing whiskey and rye, singing, this will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die. I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken, and the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died. And they were singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. They were singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
The day the music died. Is that the day the country died? Isn't it funny, in that song, as the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, when I bless myself with my grandchildren, and I say the Holy Ghost, they say, it's not the Holy Ghost, Grandpa, it's the Holy Spirit. See that? The word police have got us once again. That's as bad as Caps is shouting. Yeah, the little Caps Gestapo. I print everything in Caps. And I always get at least two or three emails. Caps is shouting. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. We're going to try and keep it to 2 minutes of politics and 2 minutes of music. I've failed in every time I've tried to accomplish that mission, but we'll see what happens. Okay, so our title tonight is A Nation Once Again, and that's an Irish song. It's a song about people in slavery. And finally, they stand up against their masters. And even though they're beaten down, eventually they get their freedom. And their song is A Nation Once Again. When freedom's fire was in my blood, I dreamt of ancient freemen of Greece and Rome who bravely stood, 300 proud and free men. Yeah, it's a good tune. If I find it tonight, I'll play it for you. The Irish National Anthem's a pretty good one, too. It's Soldiers Are We, whose lives are pledged to our land, just like our land, and that half of 1% that protects us while we complain about secondhand smoke. So, Catherine Sebelius finally got the axe. Yeah, the crazy woman that created that healthcare nightmare, monstrosity. Yeah, half the doctors were getting ready to leave town. They were all going to get jobs driving cabs. Unbelievable. And she went to read her a speech and a page was missing. Oh, God. Suffers from a glitch. Her farewell remarks, that's the headline, suffers from a glitch. And Harry Reid may have something to do with cattle rustling. He may have something to do with the land that was seized by the communist government. Yeah, and try to put down the workers' revolt. Yeah, unbelievable. Tortoise. They have a section set aside for tortoise, for the tortoises, and they have so many of them that they have to anesthetize them. They have to put them to euthanasia. They're doing tortoise abortions because there's too many tortoises. What a bunch of phony bastards, and they're all communists. Jimmy from Brooklyn calls them Enviro-Leninists, and I love that tag. That's really great. Last night, I went to New York City, to the Big Apple, much against my protests. Somebody gave me, for my birthday, two tickets to see a tribute to Dave Brubeck, a jazz musician whose music I hated. And he's only known for two tunes, Blue Rondo a la Turk and Take Five. Take Five is his most popular tune. So in his whole career, he had one good tune. But they had a tribute to him, and it was narrated by Wynton Marsalis, who's a very good trumpet player. And it was sad when I got there because I was in the heart of the Big Apple with the communist mayor. And there were two fat men in their 50s dressed like women. They were dressed like little girls. They had little blonde wigs with a bow in their hair. And they had a short, baby snooks dresses on. And my wife thought it was part of an act, and no, it wasn't. They were in the audience, and when they got off the elevator, a woman said, "Oh, good evening, ladies." I tell you, man, the national anthem should be "Freak," "La Freak," do "La Freak." It is really sad. What a country. So there I came to listen to music and to listen to jazz. And one of the things, it was a nice, beautiful hall. And in the center of the stage, they had the band set up, and it was like 15-piece orchestra. They had three trombones. They had four trumpet players. They had four saxophone players. And, of course, the saxophone players doubled as flute players, French horn players. And the piano player doubled playing. There was a Japanese tune, and they played that, that Japanese sound, that wood-hitting sound. And they had a bass player, with a bass fiddle, not a bass guitar. And the bass fiddle is much more superior to a bass guitar. It's got a real sound to it, and he was pretty good. He was Latino. I think he wanted to let go, but they were playing regular jazz, boring jazz. It's really sad. So we suffered through 16 tunes, and they had a tribute to Dave Brubeck, and they had pictures on the wall of Dave, So I got a lesson in how New York now dresses for work, watching those two fat guys. And then I got a lesson. I came for music, and here I get a lesson in homosexuality. And the next lesson is racism. And they do a whole bit, and they got pictures of Dave Brubeck, and they're saying he was one of the first people to oppose racism. And that's wonderful, man. I came for the music. Where's the music here? And they got pictures on the wall, and there's a picture with Brubeck, and he's with Franklin Roosevelt, he's with Harry Truman, he's with Obama, he's with Reagan. He's with President Pinocchio Pants. The only president he wasn't with was Nixon. Nixon was the only president that wasn't on the wall. And then, so they played the race card, and I had to listen to the race card. I came for music, man. That's all I want to hear. I don't see colors. I don't listen to color. I listen to music. But, and I could see, as a matter of fact, I got to tell you something. I took my American flag pin off before I went because I knew I'd be the only guy with it. And I didn't want to stand out in the crowd. So I was working, I was an undercover American last night. It's unbelievable. But I got two relatives, if they ever saw me do it, they would kill me. And they live in New York. And they're walking flag pins. And they're both servicemen, like me. But they're braver. No, not really. We can, when the time comes, we can all go down to Texas or down to Nevada and stand with that one rancher who's been raped by the American government and the Bureau of Land Management. And and I understand that the communist commissars pulled out today. But they did a lot of damage. They had, one guy had a blood on his shirt from being tasered. I didn't know that tasers make you bleed. And they used German Shepherd dogs on the people that were unarmed. All they had were cameras. And I think the people were very good. They handled themselves very well for being hot under the collar. But it's really sad. The guy had 900 head of cattle. And now it turns out that Harry Reid's involved in a land deal. And somehow he may be connected to the seizing of that property by the American government for the good of the American people. And they're going to build a solar farm down there. Yes, and we're all going to eat vegetables. it's really sad. Okay, so having said that, I led you into a story about Dave Brubeck last night and cattle rustling. We're going to jump out. We're going to find a nice tune. And we're going to do Somebody Stole My Gal.
Somebody stole my gal. Somebody stole my pal. Somebody came and took her away. She didn't even say she was leaving. Her kisses are missed though. He's getting them, I know. Oh, gee, I know that she would come to me if he could see that her broken heart is gone somehow. Somebody stole my gal.
Somebody say, we don't care if New York is gone. It's not our problem. Huh? You know, like they'll say, oh, Ukraine, that's none of our business. We should stay out of the Ukraine. Let the Russians slaughter them all. It's none of our business. Hey, it just dropped a big nuke in New York. Well, listen, you know, we still got 49 left. Let's not go off half-cocked. I'm going to give a little tune, real quick one, for the Ukrainians who are being sold out by the entire world. Okay, that's it. Now, we'll play a song for all those New Yorkers I met last night.
Wah bam ba loom bam 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 tooty boot, oh root, tooty boot, oh root, tooty boot, oh root, tooty boot, oh root, tooty boot, oh root. Wah bam ba loom bam bam bam, I got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do. I got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do. She rocks to the east, she rocks to the west, but she's a gal that I love best. Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy. Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy. Ooh, Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy. Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy. Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy. Wop bop loo mop lump bump bum. I got a gal named David. She almost drives me crazy. Got a gal named David. She almost drives me crazy. She knows how to love me. Yes, indeed. Boy, you don't know what you do to me. Tooty fruity, oh Rudy. Tooty fruity, oh Rudy. Tooty fruity, oh Rudy. Tooty fruity. Bum, got a gal named David. She almost drives me crazy. Got a gal named David. She almost drives me crazy. She knows how to love me, yes indeed. Boy, you don't know what she do to me. Tooty fruity, oh Rudy. Tooty fruity, oh Rudy. Tooty fruity, oh Rudy. Tooty fruity, oh Rudy. Tooty fruity, oh Rudy.
Wow, wowie, wow, wow, wow. There's a report out tonight on the Obamas. They gave 0.3% of their income to their church in 2013. They made $59,000 in charitable contributions in 2013, 12% of their income to charity. But the church only got, too bad the Pope didn't have a little collection basket when Obama came by, huh? Yeah, you want to hear what the comments are? Betty tipped his caddy more. OK, Can you imagine if President Bush had given to an organization called the National Congress of White Women? Wonder how much he gave to the Muslim Brotherhood. Oh, he gave at least 50 dinars. Find it hard to believe they earned less than 500,000. Yeah, that is a joke. He came in with 3 million. Let's see what he leaves with. Oh, they're not counting the war chest. Not earned money, reported adjusted gross income. My friends, if you write this sort of reporting, we'd be jailed. The money he gave to the Muslim Brotherhood was ours, our tax dollars. He gave money to the Muslim Brotherhood. How many times did they actually occupy a pew? Hey, the Obamas have a lot of expenses, so they can't be just throwing money around to charities. That crew that comes in once a week, I'm not going there. I'm not reading the rest of that one. You think this is generous? Wait until the VP's tax forms are made public. In the past, if the past record holds, it will be less percent than the president. Yeah, Joe Biden doesn't give to charity. I'm surprised it was that high. It falls a teeny weeny bit short of the Christian tithe, but who's counting? Amen, brother. I wonder what his good book requires in tithing. His book accounts in how many infidels are killed in the name of Mr. Moe. Oh, there's a lot of unpopular, unhappy people out there. He gives our tax money to the Muslim Brotherhood so he doesn't have to donate himself. He's not too popular. He's not too popular. And what's really sad is it's going to be hard for a good black man to run for office and get any kind of attention. That's the sad result of what's going on today. It's going to be hard. For a guy like Dr. Carter, it's going to be very hard. People have a bad taste in their mouth. People have regrets. People bought the up from slavery pitch, and they don't see the results that they thought they were going to see. Federal judge slams Holder for unprecedented instruction he had no authority to establish. Want to hear that one? A federal judge criticized Eric Holder, bag holder I call him, because he's always holding the bag for the Clintons, for the pardon deals, for directing prosecutors to pursue shorter prison sentences for drug crimes before new guidelines for sentencing had been approved. So the U.S. Sentencing Commission approved and reduced sentences for federal drug trafficking. Oh, there's that big dally payoff money again. Yeah, that finds its way right into the Department of Justice. Allegedly, can't be proved. Holder endorsed the move last month, and the Justice Department instructed prosecutors not to object if defendants sought the newly proposed guidelines during sentencing. Yes, I have a theory about that. I believe we should have the death penalty for first-time marijuana users. I know it's tough, and I know we're going to lose a lot of relatives and a lot of friends and neighbors, but in 3 weeks, the drug problem will be over. Come on, Judge. Eric knows best. He's too ignorant to understand the rules. I believe her Holder actually thinks he's a legend in his own mind. Holder is a criminal, and he works for criminals in the White House. That was four different opinions. Neither Holder or the judges have any right to change anything in law. That makes the same mistake as Bathhouse Barry. Law is made in Congress. Okay, we'll buy that. I'll drink to that. Bartender, champagne, and we'll play a tune. What do we have, bartender, in the way of a tune? We have Blog Talk Radio. We go to the studio. And we'll play. It always comes up at A. Linda, give me a break. Here's a song that'll cheer us all up.
I've been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing, it is song time. The banjo's drumming soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I give the world to be among the folks in G-I-X-I, even though my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. I love the old folks at home. Among the folks here, G-I-X-I, even though my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore.
Oh, here's an article. These Hollywood celebrities aren't afraid to speak out and say they're pro-life. Now, who could that be? Jack Nicholson. Nicholson's opinions on abortion were formed by personal experience. He was a grown man when he discovered the woman he thought was his sister was actually his mother. And the woman he knew as his mother was his grandmother. His mother became pregnant as a teenager and was encouraged to have an abortion, even back in 1937, but she chose life for her son. The revelation that his sister was his mom was understandably difficult for Nicholson and had a profound effect upon him. For one, it made him pro-life. I'm very contra my constituency in terms of abortion because I'm positively against it. I don't have the right to any other view. My only emotion is gratitude, literally, for my life. This short statement is full of humility, wisdom, and courage. Note that he says, I don't have the right to have any other view. He has understood, thanks to the knowledge of his own life, almost never happened, that life is a gift for which we should all feel gratitude. A woman is carrying, she is like a temple, and her body is a sacred place. His willingness to vocally oppose abortion in the face of Hollywood and his own political party is inspiring and should be encouraged. Ah, Mel Gibson. Yeah, the enemy of the communist state. Oh, I wish Mel Gibson would do, you know what, or even Nicholson. Nicholson would be great in the Joe McCarthy story. Both of them, either one would be great in the Joe McCarthy story. Mel Gibson is not without controversy, and he admittedly has made some mistakes in his life. Who hasn't? Jesus says a good man falls 7 times a day. I'm a 5, by the way. Still, Gibson has never wavered on the issue of life. In a Barbara Walters interview in 1990, at the height of his fame, Gibson said, "One can't decide for oneself who comes into this world and who doesn't. That decision doesn't belong to us." Later, he vocally spoke out against life-destroying embryonic stem cell research. He said this on a television commercial. "In 23 years, embryonic stem cell research has not produced a single human cure. All it has yielded is tumors, rejections, and mutations. See, bad science doesn't attract a venture capital. So why should the taxpayers be bled dry?" This is Mel Gibson, and I'm voting no on Prop 71. Creating life simply to destroy it is wrong. A lady named Patricia Heaton Patricia Heaton is one of the most prominent pro-life women in Hollywood. Recently, Life News noted how Heaton takes to Twitter to voice her pro-life convictions, as she often does, most recently highlighting how abortions target a disproportionate number of black babies. They say that Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood, or was the inspiration for Planned Parenthood, believed that there were too many blacks and they should be put down. And what's sad is Planned Parenthood on a daily basis kills 1,100 black babies a day. They kill 1,200 white babies a day, 1,100 black babies a day, and 700 Latino niños. That is big business, man, no matter how you look at it. And speaking of big business, when do you think they're going to have marijuana on the stock exchange? Huh? In the futures. There's wheat, there's corn, and there's going to be weed. Weed is going to be on the stock exchange. Heaton said as far back as 2004 that she and her pro-abortion Hollywood colleagues didn't see eye to eye on abortion, explaining why her name was not on the list of Hollywood celebs supporting a pro-abortion march that year. Yeah. Oh, you know that the rate of women having dogs is up. Did you know that? Women without children are having dogs. Many of the celebrities on the list are my friends, Heaton explained, but when it comes to championing abortion, we go our separate ways. Donald Trump. Donald. He declared himself pro-life after years of supporting the pro-abortion position. One thing about me, I'm a very honorable guy. I'm pro-life, but I changed my view a couple of years ago. One of the reasons I changed, a friend of mine's wife was pregnant, in this case, married. She was pregnant, and she really didn't want the baby, and he was telling me the story, Trump said. He was crying as he was telling me the story. He ends up having the baby, and the baby is the apple of his eye. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to him. And you know, here's a baby that wasn't going to be let into life. Very true, man. Very true. The American creed. The American creed is the strong must always protect the weak, especially the unborn. And Justin Bieber is pro-life. But that could change at any minute. Kenny Chesney. Chesney's most notable example is a song he has called one of his favorites, There Goes My Life. It spent 7 weeks at number one, and it tells the story of a teenager whose girlfriend gets pregnant and has the baby rather than have an abortion. The teen initially believes that his life has been ruined, but in the end he realizes how much of a blessing the child is. Oh, Jim Caviezel, I like him. There's a girl named Jordan Sparks, and she's pro-life. And Jim Caviezel, famed for his role as Christ in The Passion of Christ, and currently starring as the leading man in TV's Person of Interest, is no stranger to being, well, different in Hollywood. From his publicly Catholic faith to his committed pro-life views, he stands in stark contrast to the typical movie star. Caviezel's personal life is even more remarkable than his incredible on-screen talent. Taking the road less traveled, Jim and his wife, Carrie, have adopted 2 children from China, both of whom have special needs. Oh, man, that's a road. That's a heavy load on a heavy road. This first adopted child, Bo, came to the Caviezels after a traumatic first 5 years of life. The boy had a brain tumor, had been abandoned, and he was taken in by an orphanage and subsequently adopted by his loving parents. Bo is a remarkably boisterous child with love he has received from Jim and Carrie. It is hard to believe that just a few short years ago he was struggling to survive in a hostile environment. When asked about becoming a father, Caviezel told Catholic Digest, even though they're adopted, it is as strong as any instinct. That's what blew me away. I always thought if I adopted, that I wouldn't have the same feeling, that they were genetically, they if they were genetically my own children. Nothing could be further than the truth. He told Catholic Digest in 2009 that being pro-life is important to him. And how are we so arrogant to think the 51.5 million babies who have died in this country? Look, I'm for helping women. I just don't see abortion as helping women. And I don't love my career that much to say I'm going to remain silent on this. Kathy Ireland, she's good. She's been a long-time fighter. Nick Cannon is another one. Phil Robertson is another one. Oh, he's from Dark Dynasty. Yeah, the enemy of the Communist Party. Oh, man. Well, there's a couple of pro-life people. So take heart. The next time somebody shoots you down shouting, "It's my body," and keep your rosaries off my ovaries, you can sing an Ave Maria to calm them down. Let us now go back and to get a pick a tune. Bum, 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 bum. Yes, Blog Talk Radio. Here we go. I got 3 Blog Talk Radio windows open now. Is it any wonder? Yeah. I play Is It Any Wonder all the time, Del Vikings. I just sent it to a niece who's having a birthday. But we got to find something different tonight. Yeah. How about High Hopes?
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
When trouble call and you're back to the wall, there's a lot to be learned. There was a call.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam,
'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. He had high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're feeling bad, instead of feeling sad, just remember that ram. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt
dam. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Is a little fascinating rhythm. 43 seconds.
Fascinating rhythm, you got me on the go. Fascinating rhythm. What a mess you're making, the neighbors want to know why I'm always shaking. Each morning I get up with the sun to find at night no work has been done. Once it didn't matter, but now you're doing wrong when you start to patter. Won't you take a day off, decide to run along somewhere far away, oh. Oh, how I long to be the man I used to be. fascinating rhythm, you got me on the go. Fascinating rhythm, got me all aglow. Fascinating rhythm.
How's that? Fascinating rhythm. And then we got, if I can find it, Lulu's Back in Town. That's 1 minute.
You've heard about Margie, heard about Donna, heard about Susie, but Lulu, gotta get my old tuxedo pressed, gotta sew a button on my vest, cause tonight I gotta look my best. Lulu's back in town. Gotta get a half a buck somewhere, gotta shine my shoes and slick my hair, gotta get myself a boutonniere. Lulu's back in town. You can tell all my pets, all my blondes and brunettes, Mr. Otis regrets that he won't be around. You can tell the mailman not to call, I ain't coming home until the fall, and I might not get back home at all. Lulu's back in town.
And Sarah Palin has endorsed Al Franken's opponent, and Al Franken's worried. You know, he's got a big war chest. His war chest is $20 million. Yeah, and a lot of it comes from Hollywood. Oh, maybe it's time he's going to do an exit the stage left. And Sarah will get a little justice, because I'm sure that Al Franken made her the point of many jokes, the butt of many jokes. What else we got going here? Starvation. Brain starvation hikes Alzheimer's. Ooh, and Alzheimer's is a tough one. Somebody was explaining to me that what happens is... Your brain forgets how to swallow. Eventually you die, you starve to death. It's really sad. The end of the trail is not pretty. Make hay while the sun shines. And let's see what else we got here. Elections have consequences. You want to hear that one? The constitutional candidates that will restore our nation and fix Washington. And it's Judge Napolitano from Fox. If we don't draft a constitutionalist for president, this is what we might end up with. Another Bush, another Clinton. Yeah, get rid of these people. We don't need either of them. Sorry. I watched all of the Republican candidates... Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum, Rand Paul, I think his name is Portman, Mike Huckabee, everybody that was in the race to, I guess John McCain was there, be the Republican candidate to oppose Obama, and each one got knocked off. Michelle Bachmann was there. A lot of them got knocked off because they didn't have enough money, enough gas money to make the ride to the end. But as they all got knocked off one by one, eventually I looked down at the end of the finish line, and who's standing down there? Jeb Bush. And I said no. And I'll tell you why nobody should vote for Bush. Clinton made a deal with Fidel Castro that he would give him a little Cuban kid. And he sent Janet Reno down to Miami. And they, on Easter week, they raided the house that Elian Gonzalez was being protected in by his relatives. His mother had died bringing him to the United States. And as a tribute to his mother, Clinton decided to sell the kid to Castro. Now, this is alleged, but you got to know there's got to be compensation somewhere. It could be in drugs. It could be in money. It could be in benefits in the future, you know, something for the library. 27 metric tons of sugar. But there was a deal made to sell his kid out. No question about it. So they snatched him on, I think it was Holy Saturday, at late at night. And the mothers that were that got wind of it, they started to form a line, and they were saying the rosary, and they were lighting candles, and they were holding crosses and holy pictures, and they got stomped by the Gestapo. And they were accused of being terrorists. And then CNN did the coverage. CNN is no good. CNN is in the Clinton camp. You want an example? On 911, a Franciscan priest was buried. He was the first one to fall at 911. His name was Father Michael Judge. And the Franciscans were lined up outside the church for his funeral, and they were bringing the body in, and a limousine pulled up, and out came Hillary Clinton. And the firemen were all lined up. Many of them were coming from the work site. They were in their work clothes. And Hillary Clinton and the CNN camera crew thrust themselves on top of the firemen and shook their hands. And one fireman turned his back on her. And Hillary Clinton was going to film that and use it in her campaign. She never did. Probably because she got the word that if she did, there'd be a lot of trouble. But that's what CNN does for Hillary Clinton. So don't trust the CNN, the Communist News Network. Now, going back to this story, where was I? Miami. We've been talking about Miami and the snatching of Elian Gonzalez. And we all know the classic photo of the fisherman holding a little Elian in his hands in a closet and the guy with a submachine gun pointing it right at them, right? And they took the kid up to outside of Washington, D.C., to I think it was Edwards Air Force Base, and they drugged the kid, and they held him. Nobody could see him, and there was only one a Republican senator in town because everybody was laying low. They knew what was going down. Judges were clued in, stay out of it. No judge would answer the door to get a stay of execution for the kid. And Bob Smith from New Hampshire was the only guy that stood with the family of Elian Gonzalez. They were heartbroken. They were outside Edwards Air Force Base, and a senator has the right to go on any military base in the world, American. And they denied him entrance to see Elian Gonzalez. And then they flew Elian Gonzalez back to Cuba. And there was... I read some bits and pieces about the Kennedys were planning a love boat to go to Cuba. It was going to be a new era, and everything was going to be hunky-dory. But Jeb Bush was the governor when this was all taking place, and the Cuban community, who was totally enraged and was just about to sack Miami over this, Jeb Bush, they claimed that Jeb Bush swallowed his tongue. So if he can swallow his tongue and hide on a move on a little kid, I don't want him as my president. He can take a hike. And that's one man's opinion. Take it for what it's worth. We need, you know what we need? I got to tell you what we need. We need an Army general or a Marine, even better, a Marine Corps general. We need a general that's got two big Liberty bells and can, when he draws a red line, everybody's going to do poo-poo. Yeah, that's what I want. We need a general. We're under siege, and we're not going to get it with another waltzing Matilda, a politician. Okay, so here's the scoop. When I come back, we'll go to another tune. When I come back, we'll talk about Harry Reid and what his involvement in this cattle rustling scam. And Lullaby of Birdland. You want to hear that?
Lullaby of Birdland, that's what I always hear
when you sigh. Never in my wordland could there be ways to reveal in a phrase how I feel. Have you ever seen two turtle doves, Bill and Coo, when they love? That's the kind of magic music we'll make with our lips when we kiss. And there's a weepy old willow, he really knows how to cry. That's how I'd cry on my pillow if you should tell me farewell and goodbye. Lullaby of birdland, whisper low, one more kiss and then we'll go flying off to birdland high in the sky up above, just because we're in love. Ba ba da ba da da do dee doo, ba ba dee da do da, wee do dee dee da ba 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 dee ba, ba dee dee ba, wee da 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 ba ba da 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 dee dee doo doo dee doo ba do dee da do da ba da ba da da do doo doo da ba ba dee da.
Like that? Some people don't like jazz. I like melody. When I heard Brubeck last night, it was all discords, and I don't like that. I like melody. I like when they go from one melodious tune, and if they want to improvise, they kick in another melodious tune that you recognize. You know, That's the kind of improvisation I like. But that's Mel Torme, The Velvet Fog, and he sings in the big band concert in heaven now. And he had a stroke, and I don't know if he's still alive or he passed on. And his Dave Brubeck, he lived to be about a 90. He was married 70 years. And he lived to be 90, 91. And what's funny, with Brubeck's life, he started out as a cattle rancher. His father was a cattle rancher. And you see him in a cowboy outfit with chaps, you know, regular working cowboy outfit. I was going to tell you, here's shocking allegations about Harry Reid. This is from the Western Center for Journalism, right wing. We have the secret salute. You know, you want to break into the right wing movement, you got to do the salute. Here's what you do: you take your hand, you put it under your right armpit. Now you raise your elbow up and down, quite fast, and that's the right wing salute. Shocking allegations show Harry Reid, Chinese company behind Nevada ranch standoff. There we go. Democrats will sell us to anybody. Yeah, their logo is 30 pieces of silver. Shocking allegations show Harry is dirty. He's Dirty Harry. As a family in Clark County, Nevada, continues to face an onslaught of heavily armed federal agents determined to kick them off their ranch, reports have surfaced that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid might be behind the entire ordeal. For them to pull out all of a sudden yesterday, they're pulling out on this news. Whether it's true or not, Harry Reid doesn't want any attention. The ranch, which has been in Clive and Bundy's family for more than a century, is ground zero for a growing showdown between federal authorities and individual rights activists. Despite attempting to silence protesters by limiting them to a so-called, did you ever hear of this, a First Amendment area? Gee, they didn't let Wall Street, the Wall Street gang, into the First Amendment area. They didn't confine them, did they? They were pooping on police cars. Yeah, heading to a site, let me see, so-called First Amendment areas. Law enforcement personnel, legislators, and militia members are heading to the site in droves to express their outrage over the Bureau of Land Management's show of force. My friends, if this is happening to one man in one place, this is happening to a lot of people across the country. We got to take a look and see where else these people are plying their devilish trade. Send a message directly to the BLM by adding your name to our important petition. In an apparent effort to cover its tracks, the BLM has reportedly removed documents from its website, showing that the move to kick the Bundys and their cattle off the land was at least in part due to a fact that their presence impeded development of solar energy on the land. We got to get a good read in his eldest son, reports indicate, were integral in the support and or implementation of a $5 billion solar plant being built in the county by a Chinese company. Officially, the federal agency, you know why it's a Chinese company? Because we can't build solar panels as cheap as they can. So they hold a key position. Officially, the federal agency has suggested they are only after Bundy because his cattle are a threat to the tortoise. And we just talked about that, right? They're killing tortoises because there's too many. That narrative, however, fell apart in the opinion of many critics when it was revealed the agency itself had engaged in the widespread slaughter of the animal. The animal meaning the tortoise. The recent allegations of Reid's hand in the Bundy attack are bolstered by the fact that his former senior advisor also served as the director of the Bureau of Land Management. According to reports, Reed successfully redrew the endangered tortoise's protected habitat to benefit a donor, indicating, my friends, $1 is the maximum donation anyone can make to a political candidate. $1, be you GE or Joe the Plumber. $1, that's it. Put an end to this buying of votes by big rich concerns, indicating his concern is more about his political and financial well-being of the reptile, his financial future. Okay, Bundy's trespass cattle. One feral cow was hit by an automobile within Lake Mead National Recreation Area. Cattle are frequently seen on public roads, including State Route 170, and pose a danger to vehicles and to members of the public traveling on public roads. Overton Wildlife Refuge, State of Nevada, an employee was attacked by a Bundy bull. Crop and destroyed by Bundy cattle on private land. Mesquite Heritage Community Garden damaged by trespass cattle. Mesquite Golf Course. They mooed on the golf course. Examples of restoration of funding. A $400,000 matching grant to restore Southwest Willow flycatcher habitat along the Virgin River from the Walton Family Foundation was withdrawn until the trespass cattle have been removed. Yeah, man, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Today it's a farmer that nobody cares about, a rancher that nobody cares about in Nevada. Tomorrow it'll be somebody in the Hamptons. Yeah, as Bundy confirmed, a piping plover just turned up on the estate of Charles the Great. And his entire property has been declared a wildlife refuge. And there's Charles with a picture of an owl in bed. He is far from the only rancher intimidated by. There you go. Here we go. Now we're ringing the bell by the BLM. The BLM and the EPA should be shut down tomorrow, and with no jobs for anybody that worked there. They should have to go and be retrained as community organizers. He is, however, the last one left of fighting. He's the only rancher in that county, you know, all the rest. There were 52 other ranches in the vicinity of his property at one point, and they're all gone. So this is the old railroad game. You know, the railroad's coming to town, and you gotta give up your property for peanuts. He has promised to continue fighting for his right, and thankfully for his family, plenty other Americans are joining the cause. Should be a big concert out there. Why don't you get Bono? Bono, call Bono. Bono, could you bring your chaps? Oh, man, what a bunch of phony bastards. We're being ruled by phony bastards. Okay, we'll go back to a tune, and we got a 5-minute mambo or a 2-minute mambo? Which one do you want? Give me the 2 minutes. We'll be right back. So like that? Want another one? You had enough? I tell you what, I'll give you the other mambo, and I'll be right back. Back. I hope you're all mumboed out. Yeah. Latinos used to laugh at the gringos because when that music first came out, we called it mambo. Yeah, we're going to do a mambo? Yeah, what are you going to say? Rancher wins new Ruby Ridge battle. Gingrich slams Obamacare's nutcake idea. I got to tell you, if you wanted somebody to go up against Obama and mop the streets with him, it should have been Gingrich. But was Gingrich the best man for the presidency? I don't know. But here we are. We're looking for diamonds. We're settling for walnuts. You know? But Gingrich would have mopped the floor with Obama. Obama wouldn't have come out for round two. I guarantee you that. I don't know what's happening with McCain and Graham. I got to tell you, I'm disappointed in both of them. Graham, I don't trust. I read that story about Scott, Lieutenant Behenna. I always forget his first name. Michael Behenna. His father's name is Scott. And I read that story that he was convicted by 7 officers who never saw, they weren't even infantry. They never saw combat. How can you do that? How can you allow 7 shavetails to do that? Last night I tried to read the story from Mrs. Elisa Vela, and I misplaced one of the pages. I pulled a Sibelius. Sibelius is Caesar. Yeah, she's gone, man. They couldn't wait to get rid of her. Oh, they're partying tonight over her demise. Yeah, she's like, be careful. She's liable to blow the whistle on all of them. She's liable not to go down swinging. So I'm going to tell you the story on Mrs. Elisa Vela. You know that when these GIs, they got a gun to their head. You know, used to see the Russians used to shoot anybody that retreated on the line. And anybody who refused to go into battle, they would shoot them right on the spot. And that was the incentive to go and die the other way. And I got a feeling that's what's happening to our military. And these guys that are rotting away in Fort Leavenworth on charges by convicting officers who have no combat experience. I think that should be an automatic rehearing for anybody. Dear friend, I'm so scared, and I wish I could hold your hand and pray for strength, because I'm going to need it. My name is Elisa Vela, and my husband is Sergeant Evan Vela of the U.S. Army. I've sent you a photo of our family. It was taken just a few days after the birth of our daughter, Blair. Evan was so happy holding her, but now he may not be able to hold his little girl for 5 more years. That's 5 years without pay. That's 5 years with a dishonorable discharge. That's 5 years with no benefits. And that's 5 years without an income provider husband. You see, just 6 days ago, after she was born, he was deployed to Iraq. And now he's sitting in Fort Leavenworth prison for a crime he didn't commit. Now, they just interviewed the Behenna, who just got out the other day after doing 5 years. And they said, how do you feel about getting out? He says, I'm worried about the 2 guys that I was in the cell with, because they're on suicide watch. Okay? So he wasn't worried about his fate. He was worried about the fate of the guys on either side of him. Please bear with me. I'm so upset. But I want you to know what really happened and why my husband is the victim of a witch hunt by Iraqi officials and politically correct bureaucrats here in the U.S. who sold him out, who don't want to upset the apple cart while our soldiers are still trying to root out Islamic terrorists in Iraq. It happened in May of 2007. Evans' sniper unit was deep behind enemy lines in a dangerous Iraqi war zone known as the Triangle of Death. Evan and his men hadn't slept in days, were physically exhausted and dehydrated from the 120-degree desert heat. Still, they knew they had to complete their mission, keeping watch on a village rumored to be hiding Al-Qaeda terrorists. Then it happened. An Iraqi national by the name of Janai Nasser al-Janabi came within feet of their hidden post. Knowing Nasser would signal to insurgents in the village and expose the whole unit, Evan's commanding officer pinned Nasser to the ground and yelled at Evan to shoot him. Evan did as he was trained. He obeyed his superior commander and shot Nasser. That's the kind of split-second decisions our soldiers are forced to make if they want to stay alive. Evan knows he did the right thing. His sniper unit was kept safely hidden, and he had protected his fellow men. But high-ranking officials in the Iraqi government didn't see it that way. The Iraqi Minister of Human Rights demanded blood for blood. So to appease Iraqi officials, Evan and two other soldiers in his unit were indicted for the death of Janai Nasir. But wait, it gets even worse. The other two soldiers, including Evan's commanding officer, who ordered him to shoot Nasir, were sent home to be tried in a U.S. military court, where they were both acquitted. But the Iraqi government demanded that Evan be tried in an Iraqi court, and our government agreed to it. My dad and I both flew to Iraq to witness the trial. I was scared, yet filled with hope, after the other two soldiers were acquitted. So you can imagine my shock and horror when the judge pronounced Evan guilty of unpremeditated murder. My dad and I held each other and cried. Evan was sentenced to 10 years in Fort Leavenworth Prison. He has served nearly 5 years already. Our little boy misses his dad, and our baby girl doesn't even know him. When I take her to visit Evan in prison, he is not allowed to hold her. It is heartbreaking for him to be so close to her and not be able to even touch her little face. When Evan was in Iraq, I could bear the long months apart because I knew he was proud of what he was doing. He was proud to protect our country. Less than half of 1% of the American people have skin in the game and could care less about that less than half of 1% of the American people. It's just coffee talk. He was proud to protect our country, and the sacrifice was worth being away from his family. But now we both feel so helpless. The trial wiped out every bit of our savings, and Evan's conviction means that we have lost all his military pay and benefits. I had wanted to stay at home to raise our children, but now I am just on my own, just trying to keep a roof over our heads and food on the table. When Evan was in the Army, we were able to make a decent living. We knew we'd never get rich, but at least we could make ends meet. Now I lie awake at night wondering how on earth we will survive this nightmare. So far, I only have one hope. It is called the United American Patriots. And I can honestly tell you that they are the best friend a member of the armed forces could ever have. Major Bill Donahue founded the UAP when he heard that innocent U.S. Marines and Army soldiers were being second-guessed for their split-second actions in combat. And now they have been doing everything in their power to help Evan and our family. They are funding Evan's appeal and trying to help us pay all the legal bills from the first trial. And these blessed angels even helped me move and the children from our home in Alaska so we could be closer to Evan while he serves his prison sentence in Kansas. Major Donahue and his loyal UAP volunteers have such big hearts, but unfortunately the legal bills are bigger. UAP has already paid $112,717 of our legal debt. But there are at least 50,000 more in bills to cover the appeal. That's why I'm about to ask you the hardest question I've ever asked anyone in my life. Could you send a one-time contribution to the United American Patriots Warrior Fund to help fund Evan's appeal? The UAP, United American Patriots Warrior Fund, is a nonprofit organization, which means they must rely on the generosity of American patriots like to fund their vital programs. It also means that your gift of any amount is tax deductible. If Evan had been acquitted, I wouldn't have to ask her for your help. He would have been able to stay in the Army and still earn a living. I don't know how that officer who ordered him to do that could walk away from him. That bothers me. That guy should be there with him right now. I don't mean in jail. I mean outside jail trying to help him. If Evan had been acquitted, I wouldn't have to ask for help. Now I have no other choice. He's already spent 5 years in prison. So believe me when I say that just your $25 or $35 gift will make a difference. The difference between Evan coming home to me and our children or serving 5 more years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. If what my husband did was murder, then sooner or later, every member of the U.S. Armed Forces will be put behind bars just for doing what they're trained to do in combat. Please, I know that times are hard for everyone right now. Gee, you wouldn't know that according to the president, and he says we're on a roll. But if you just have a few dollars you can spare, will you help my husband, Army Sergeant Evan Baylor? The government has unlimited funds to stack the deck against Evan in court. Yeah, it's my tax dollars. They're using my money to destroy the military. But Evan and I can rely only on generous hearts of people like you. Thank you for reading my letter. And thank you on behalf of every wife of an American soldier. I hope they never have to go through a nightmare like mine. You shouldn't be going through this nightmare, lady. I thank God that Evan got at least to see Blair and hold her for those 6 precious days after she was born. That's the only time he got to touch her before he shipped out to Iraq. And he won't hold up for 5 more years. That is terrible, man. That's a disgrace. And that's a disgrace on the U.S. military. Every general, every officer in the U.S. military should be contributing to this man's defense, because an attack on one is an attack on all. And the commanding officer who ordered him to shoot the guy he was holding down bears the responsibility for this guy doing 5 years in jail. And the least he should be doing is arguing for his release. He was under your command. But I know you're off the hook and you're glad. And you're as disillusioned as he is. So, having said that, let us reach for a tune. Should we? You know what? We got to find something that boosts morale. Okay. O salutaris hostia, our folks close.
O salutaris hostia. Quae caeli pondis ostium, bella primund hostilia, da robet fer auxilium. Deo patris sit gloria, cum spiritu paraclito, nunc esperet siculum. O salutaris hostia, quae caeli pondis ostium, primund hostilia, da robet fer auxilium. Munitrinoque domino, si sempiterna gloria, qui vitam sine termino, nobis donet in patria. Amen.
The hymn is Latin. The English translation is, O saving victim, opening wide the gate of heaven to us below. Our foes press in from every side. Thine aid supply, thy strength bestow. To thy great name be endless praise, immortal Godhead, one in three. O grant us endless length of days in our true native land with thee. Amen. Our true native land is definitely heaven, but on earth, it's the USA, and look what we're doing to it. It's a splinter group organization. Really sad. We've been divided and conquered. So having said that, let me go back and we'll read some news. Al Franken is working. Sarah Palin put a mojo on him. TSA bars a stroke victim for not being able to talk. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm surprised they didn't put the cuffs on her. Get a German Shepherd. Yeah. Unbelievable, man. I was in Germany. I saw a real German Shepherd. He had sheep and everything. Yeah. Feds reluctantly backed down. Oh, no. Harry Reid called them off because he's getting some unwarranted attention. That's what that's all about, friends. Harry Reid called them off. Okay, let's see. Clark County Sheriff. Imagine that. There's nobody. There's no ranches left. They wiped out all the other ranches but this guy. Yeah. Who's playing the head of the BLM? Victor Jory? You know who Victor Jory is? He played all the bad guy parts in the 50s westerns. Yeah. He was a good bad guy, too. He was always trying to hurt the school marm. Yeah, but back then, good guys won all the time. Clark County Sheriff Douglas Gillespie announced that the Bureau of Land Management would cease their persecution of the cattle rancher Cliven Bundy. He also stated that Bundy's cattle would be allowed to graze on the land. In an emotional response, Bundy presented the sheriff with an ultimatum stating he had 1 hour to disarm the federal agency to bring the arms to the protest site to be destroyed and remove their barricades. Oh, you don't want, there's one thing you don't want to do. I got to tell you this. This is the truth. Americans are slow to anger. But once they get mad, it's kind of hard to calm them down. You don't believe me? Ask the Germans, ask the Japanese. You still don't believe me? Ask the Koreans. Yep. You still don't believe me? Ask Saddam Hussein, Uday and Kuse. Yeah. If we have to go to the Ukraine, we'll call for volunteers. God bless him. You know what he's doing? There's a picture of Bundy. And he's got his hat over his heart. There's an American flag. And they're saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And his wife is wearing a patch on her shirt. And it's the symbol of the BLM with a red line through it. And the girls that are holding up the sign say, it's not just about the cattle. It's about fighting for our freedom. Don't steal the government. I can't read the rest of the girls in the way. Don't steal. Don't steal. That's the, yeah, thou shalt covet thy neighbor's ranch. Holy man, are we in trouble? We're in trouble. Obama celebrates Marxist radical Cesar Chavez. Yes. You know what? I'm doing a lot of thinking lately about these illegal invaders and their rights that they gave themselves. And I only have one question. Why are they not fighting their own government and getting the rights that they're entitled to from their government? Why are they attacking my government? Why don't they go back to Mexico and attack their government? If their government is not doing the right thing, why don't they overthrow it? Why are they coming here to overthrow my government? Here's a guy that says, I don't celebrate Black History Month. Oh, that card is getting real worn out, fellas. Planned Parenthood affiliate offers creepy advice for small children about condoms. Wonderful. Poor Hank Aaron. I feel sorry for Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron's in play. All his life, he had to tolerate all kinds of abuse. And never once did he take his eye off the prize, which was the Babe Ruth's record. And now the Democrats got their hooks into him and they're playing him like a little puppet. It's unbelievable. The left is... they got Obama does a touch and go at Fort Hood. Oh, yeah, he wasn't going to hang around there. He might experience some workplace violence. Yeah, he might hear a few Allahu Akbars. It was good to see Obama had his priorities straight after the Fort Hood ceremony. He went right back to fundraising. He's a community organizer, man. That's what he does. He organizes communities against the government. I'm just grateful that we have a president so focused on the important things. No sense dwelling on yet another tragic base shooting. All those guys that were involved in that terrorist attack on Fort Hood by a jihadist are all entitled to combat pay, and they're all entitled to medals and benefits, combat pay benefits. According to the schedule, he arrived at Killeen, Texas at 11:30 a.m., then attended the memorial, doing little more than what pilots call a touch-and-go, and then he headed for the DNC. You know what the DNC stands for? Democratic National Committee. You know what else it stands for? Dilatation and curettage. You know what dilatation and curettage is? Abortion. That's what DNC stands for. Want to hear some comments? I didn't want to see Obama's face on TV, so I canceled my cable. I didn't want to see them in magazines, so I canceled my magazines and told them why I won't pay for false information. If you watch the truth, watch Fox News if you want the truth. That is the truth. They're dying to shut Fox down. They thought Al Jazeera was going to do it. I noticed Al Jazeera playing the race card. But I also noticed Al Jazeera doing one on drugs in Colombia, which was very good. So Al Jazeera is very careful. We still haven't seen their real agenda. Having the same problem in that I change the channel or walk away punching a wall. Yeah, there's a lot of TV screens with footprints on them. Well, it looks like your tube is busting. It looks like there's a footprint. It looks like size 9. Yeah, the land belongs to the people, as the Constitution indicated. Yeah, you're going to have to fight to get it back, buddy. I feel your pain. Now give me money. Obama only does 3 things: photo ops, read speeches, and take vacations. Can you imagine how he would have sounded without a teleprompter? Really sad, man. Really sad. And like I said before, it's going to be hard for a black man to become president ever again. No matter how good he is, people are going to be gun-shy. Seizing a gun-shy. Okay, let's go back for a tune. We have no time left, so we'll play The Party's Over.
The party's over, it's time to call it a day. They've burst your pretty balloon and taken the moon away. It's time to wind up the masquerade. Just make your mind up, the piper must be paid.
the party's over. The candles flicker and dim. You danced and dreamed through the night. It seemed to be right just being with him. Now you must wake up. All dreams must end. Take off your makeup. The party's over. It's all over, my friend. The party's over. It's time to call it a day. Now you must wake up. All dreams must end. Take off your makeup. The party's over. It's all over, my friend. It's all over, my friend.